Hey, Ion. Thanks for coming back. We have Sandra here. Are you ready, Ion?
Yeah, it's as good as any, what y'all know.
I wanted to ask about the Ohio terrorist, the Cincinnati one, that he had a plan to bust into the White House and kill President Obama. So he's in custody now in Kentucky, and I'm just wondering, is this guy for real or is he full of shit? Did he have this big scheme and plan, or is he just yanking everybody's chain?
It's just a pawn's game of a bad case of non-checkmate.
So he was ratted out by a comrade of his, and they found him in front of a gun shop, and he had some sort of air rifle and all sorts of ammunition. He said in an interview that there are all kinds of these Islamic State supporters that are living as American citizens and that there will be many, many attacks. So that brings up a good point, because there's obviously lots of Muslim population here in America. Most of them I would view as non-threatening. They're peaceful people. But what percentage of Muslims in America would really consider doing something like this?
You mean the CIA, don't you, darling? That's how this works. You set it up, you prop it up, you lane it up, then you cause a fight, then they fight about the fight. Go to Turkey. Go to Istanbul, Turkey. The kindest, most loving, caring, passionate people you're ever going to be in your whole living world. Anybody living that close to the Mediterranean Sea, there's not a thing in the world wrong with none of it.
So nothing's going to happen. They're all just going to remain chill like they are now. Is that what you mean?
Oh, no, no. You get somebody walking by, and they had a gun, and that gun turns into the jihadist that brought the war to here, and you're all going to die, and the sky is blue, and it's falling on you.
You're saying the jihadist had a gun?
No, I'm saying they're promoting it, that everybody that walks by with a damn BB gun is going to have nuclear weapons issues. All they're doing is priming and propping it. Now, everybody's got to be scared in their own beds because the devil's coming. It's the devil. Look, it's the devil. He's under the bed. Oh, it's the Muslims. It's the this. It's the that. It's always some devil bumping, biking, booking something messed up world that you've got to surround yourself with a heavy armament to protect yourself because you don't know who you are. And if the simplest of the devil's going to come run you straight in the bowels of hell because you don't know no better.
That's right. The Antichrist.
It's the Buddha Dam. It's the Buddha Dam.
They don't know the
really,
difference.
No, really, 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 really. It's Bob.
He's the Antichrist.
Well, he says he is, but he's not sure either. You pin him on it, and then he obsolesces it, and then he doesn't know. He says, well, does that mean that I've got to be pro-Christ in order to be Antichrist or de-Christ or un-Christ or sub-Christ or sub-genius Christ? Well, no, now that's a whole other conversation. So now you all of a sudden you're going to be in the LaRouche quadrant. No good things have ever come out of that.
So he's the one that Nostradamus predicted after all.
And thought.
Yes. A couple more points here, not a different subject. Talking about the Plan B, Supreme Court oral arguments challenging Obamacare. Nothing's really going to come of that. I mean, they're not going to rule against Obamacare, are they?
Makes no difference. They're still legislating morality. Now they're going to charge you a fee because you don't buy their insurance that you can't afford with their fiat money that's not any good anymore. The news, the headlines all across the world is three major banks have passed definitive critical hurdle doubts. Acknowledges it's a hurdle.
It's past the hurdle, you're saying.
That they're saying three have passed the hurdle, but they're acknowledging that there was a hurdle, that they were defunct.
And all that's going to remain status quo? There isn't going to be an incident? It seems to me that it's been artificially propped up for so long. Why not just keep going that way?
Okay, that's all right with us, but you're running out of props.
So sooner or later, we're going to have an episode.
You already have an episode right now. Other countries now aren't taking your money.
And that will eventually lead to the United States declaring bankruptcy again. Or have we already done that?
If you look on the website, you can find the new currency that's supposed to replace the Federal Reserve notes are already being ready to roll out.
So when that happens, that means that we've already declared bankruptcy?
There's going to be some powerful pissed off bond holders.
These are U.S. government bonds?
Yes.
Are these the same type of bonds that were destroyed in the Twin Towers?
No. Those are the Morgan Stanley Barrett bonds. No. Unlike these, those are actually backed by something.
Insurance.
Yeah, you mean AIG. Not OIC, AIG. OCD, done for correctly, is CDO.
Susanna wants to know if Ian is messing with Hillary Clinton's personal emails.
We told her to get off that damn BlackBerry, and she don't listen, so I guess she'll work it out. There's 27,311 that are not on the system, and they're going to nail her to the old rugged cross because they're sensitive, and they have to be in the government proffers, and she don't play that way, and homie don't play that. We told her this, and she's got to show it up, and so there you go.
My observation of the Clintons, both Bill and Hillary, are that they don't take orders from anybody.
Bill does, but them damn Rodhams don't.
He takes orders from her.
You better say it.
Sandra, you know that her father set up the China deal after Nixon's visit in 71. They set up the Waltons, Walmart, and they set up the Rose firm, and everything goes through the Hillary gang down there thanks to her father. That's on its website.
She seems to be set up more than one time as the whipping boy. That sort of tells me that she doesn't play along with the crowd. So they're just going to keep whipping her until she goes away.
In order for her to be a non-secretary, you must consider her as a secretary, yes?
Sure.
Well, there's the rub.
Greenbra, we learned last week that you can ask any of the 6 degrees of separation questions if you say, I want to know, I want to know why, I want to know where, I want to know who, so that might loosen you up there.
I want to know if Jeb Bush will be the 45th president of the United States.
No.
I want to know who will be 45th president of the United States of America.
Yes, Walter Winchell will be your next sitting president of the United States.
Well, that's if I had any say, but I'm not getting involved with that level.
What Bob's trying to say is, and what we're trying to confirm is that we don't care who the next sitting president of your United States is. The POTUS can go.
Yeah, we got to stop thinking about those things, those kind of issues. They are really silly now.
Because they're fleeting. See, it doesn't matter. And you're saying from a standpoint of the residents, who's going to be the residents. But see, all that isn't fleeting. Every bit of that is changing. You better say it. It's coming. And all that whole thing. They have split top sports over with.
That's the real news. That's the more important news.
We need a shake up, if you ask me.
Nobody's asking you. A little delay.
They are,
there.
Bob. They are.
No, it was the wings. No, it's labor. No, it's the Politburo. No, it's the communists. No, it's the North Koreans. No, it's them damn Hawaiians. They fucked up everything. It's the Hawaiians.
They
that's
sure did,
it all
didn't
up.
They, with their solar panels fucking everything
Lord,
up.
Lord, hey, we have got mercy, mess it up. All of good fossil fuel, what it was meant for, huh?
That's right. And all the Republicans were crying that their homeland security was about to be shut down because they didn't pass the budget for it. Well, you know what? Shut that shit down. We don't need it anyway. Police yourselves, people.
Hey, Sandra, you're supposed to ask questions. This is not your soapbox.
Okay, all right. I've got one more. It's more of a comment and a story than anything else, but I just want to preface this by saying that Brian needs to turn down the volume on his computer right now because we're going to be talking about people exercising their power on a daily basis, and he doesn't like to hear about things like that because it rattles his cage. The other night, I was drawing myself a bath. I wanted to listen to Enya while I was in the bath. So I turned on my Pandora app, pulled up the list. It just so happens to be, and I know this is weird, Nine Inch Nails is below Enya. I really, really wanted to listen to Enya. I can't express enough my desire to listen to Enya at that time. My finger accidentally hits the Nine Inch Nails button on my phone, and I think to myself, no, I don't want to listen to Nine Inch Nails. I want Enya. My phone, through the Pandora app, starts playing Enya and blasting Enya. And I thought to myself, now I know I hit Nine Inch Nails accidentally, so I go back to the lineup list, and Nine Inch Nails is highlighted as if I hit the button, which I did, but my phone is still playing Enya. So this is another example of exercising my power, my desire for something that just comes forth through the Android me.
Not the case. What's happening is that your intended position from a cloud representation trumped what reality said that was. That's how we're now able to shift things around and change your history. Now, all of a sudden, everything that was good is bad. Everything that's bad is good. Everything that's up is down. Everything's over is under. There you go. Perspective, 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 perspective.
It's the shakeup that we all have been asking for.
Well, pretty much, yeah.
Okay, you're done, Sandra?
All done.
All right, thank you very much. I have something. I pursue. I'm reading a book by Harold Innes, who was the first academic to start doing media ecology as an economic historian. And his first book, 1950, Empire and Communications, he goes through the history of Egypt. I want to run by what he says and have you correct, elaborate, support. So in a section called Effects of Writing and Equality, subtitled New Religions, talking about way back there, I don't know, 3000 BC or something, even though we don't accept the time, but that's his context. The spread of writing, Innes writes, the spread of writing after the Democratic Revolution was accompanied by the emergence of new religions and the immortality cult of Horus and Osiris. Ra worship had become too purely political, and individuals found a final meaning and a fulfillment of life beyond the vicissitudes of the political arbitrator. Osiris, the god of the Nile, became the good being slain for the salvation of men, the ancestral king and model for his son Horus. As an agriculture god, he had faced death and conquered it. His wife Isis, the magician, made codes of law and ruled when Osiris was conquering the world. She persuaded the sun god Ra to disclose his name. And since knowledge of a person's name gave to him who possessed it magical power over the person himself, she acquired power over Ra and other gods. In the 12th dynasty, Osiris became the soul of Ra, the great hidden name which resided in him. With Ra, he shared supremacy in religion and reflected the twofold influence of the Nile and the sun. Night and day were joined as complementary. Osiris yesterday and death, Ra tomorrow and life. Funerary rites invented by Isis were first applied to Osiris. Conferring immortality, they have been described by Maret, the scholar, as, quote, the most precious revelation which any Egyptian god had ever made to the world, unquote. Now, I'll read the next section before I stop. The next section is called Magic and Writing. Osiris was served by Thoth as vizier. So Thoth was vizier, sacred scribe, and administrator. As the inventor of speech and writing, quote, lord of the creative voice, master of words and books, unquote, Thoth became the inventor of magic writings. Osiris became the center of a popular and priestly literature to instruct people in the divine rights and duties. Words were imbued with power. The names of gods were part of the essence of being, and the influence of the scribe was reflected in the deities. Since religion and magic alike were sacred, they became independent. The priest used prayers and offerings to the gods, whereas the magician circumvented them by force or trickery. Family worship survived in the Osirian cult, and because of a practical interest, magic was used by the people. Since to know the name of a being was to have the means of mastering him, to pronounce a name was to fashion the spiritual image by the voice, and to write it, especially with hieroglyphics, was to draw a material image. In the manifold activity of the creative word, magic permeated metaphysics. Polytheism persisted, and names were among the spiritual manifestations of the gods. Magical literature and popular tales preserved the traditions of the great gods of the universe. Granted, it's only a little man talking there, I am, but do you have any commentary on that presentation of early Egyptian history?
No, none on that, just on his time bias, space bias, media ecology. It's trying to drive the monopolies of knowledge. It exits favoring some media over others. So all they're talking about is the difference between parchment and clay and stone as he comes into this decentralization, that you have control is nothing other than hoodoo. That's what hoodoo is, Bob. If you know it and believe it, then it can control you, like the voodoo dolls. That's where that has. So all that's fine. All that's fine. But if you come all the way down, let's see, why don't you go on into Babylon in chapter 3?
I'll get to that in a second, but
Mesopotamia.
But you've just said it's very accurate about the clay parchment papyrus. You're correct on that. That's good. Now, he has a sidebar, and he quotes the scholar Ernst Cassirer, and he says, Cassirer had described language and myth as an original and indissoluble correlation with one another and as emerging as independent elements. Mythology reflected the power exercised by language on thought. The word became a primary force in which all being and doing originate. Verbal structures appeared as mythical entities endowed with mythical powers. The word and language revealed to man that world that was closer to him than any world of material objects. Mind passed from a belief in the physio-magical power comprised in the word to a realization of its spiritual power. Through language, the concept of the deity received its first concrete development. The cult of mysticism grappled with the task of comprehending the divine in its totality and highest inward reality, and yet avoided any name or sign. It was directed to the world of silence beyond language. But the spiritual depth and power of language was shown in the fact that speech itself prepared the way for the last step by which it was transcended. The demand for unity of the deity took its stand on the linguistic expression of being and found its sure support in the word. The divine excluded from itself all particular attributes and could be predicated only of itself. Now, in these references to the power of the word, is this talking about your power accessing the non-physical and our own human power, or is this all social mortar talk of the word power?
Denunciation of images and concentration on the abstract in writing opened the way for advance from blood relationship to universal ethical standards and strengthened the position of the prophets in their opposition to absolute monarchical power. An arboreal of idolatry, engraven images implied a sacred power in writing, observance of the law, and worship of one true God.
That's the exact words. I know I read that earlier today. I'm not, just not sure what page that's on, but you know, I recognize what you just wrote. You just cited Innes in the Babylonian chapter.
But that's the answer, though. See, because when you talk about the Semitic language, it's before the Arabic. This is the whole point of the slip. It's a slip. Strands of what they call scriptures. They stripped it down. Not scriptures, they're scriptures. And the monotheism, the whole movement, you got to change that perspective. And that perspective is what's wrong with all this gibberish that you're doing right now. But it's okay. We don't mind. You're out of McLuhan, so you got to do something.
Is this discussing the history of social mortar and not human power?
It has nothing to do with human power. If it had to do with human power, you wouldn't be talking about how you don't have any. You wouldn't be talking about how the bias made the bias of the bias. You cut it on the bias. Well, you slice it on the bias, then it's not going to go all to pieces. You're going to cross the butt.
So this is why McLuhan satirized Innes. He knew what your point was there.
Paper and the printing press, yep. Gutenberg Galaxy.
Paper and the printing press is the last chapter. I haven't got to that part yet. Corbin, do you have a question for Ion?
Yo, Bob, what's going on?
Yo, yo, Cat.
Hey,
yo,
Ion.
Cat Daddy. Yo, Cat Daddy,
Cat Daddy. Ion, how do you process triangulation on a non-physical realm?
The Byzantine Empire did it on the parchment codex.
Explain the parchment codex.
Well, go to the Byzantine Empire and you can see it. Or go to Bob's got it, too.
Yeah,
yeah, it's right here in my book here.
Are you living with Bob?
Bob lives inside that. Bob lives inside that.
Okay.
Just like in the scriptures, and to the lady with the fly, he was a stranger.
There,
he took him in.
I like that. Now, what about Pythagoras? Was he actually a real person?
Well, sure, that's where you got the Pythagorean theorem.
What use is that?
None to us.
None to you as a non-physical.
And not much to you as a half-physical.
As a non-physical entity, you don't keep up with earthly ideals in terms of media. But JW, how do you separate JW and you? Are you guys serendipitous in terms, does he get the blowback of your thoughts, so to speak, or do you get the blowbacks of his imperfection?
They're all deposited in the Nile Delta.
This book is distracting Ion. He's inside me.
How do you entertain yourself as a non-physical? Do you just say, like, people, you're not where I am, so you can't relate to us, therefore I have to spew forth in the literal creative sense. The male spews forth his serum into the female. Like, is that what you do? Or are you a garden hose?
We apply plebeian pressures.
Repeat that.
We apply plebeian pressures.
What's the definition of plebeian?
Look it up.
Means like of the people on the street, Corbin. Normal, average, daily.
All right, now, does kinetic energy affect everything?
That's how the 12 tablets got adopted.
Say that again?
That's why the 12 tablets had to be adopted.
The 12 emerald tablets is what you're talking about.
We didn't say emerald tablets. We said 12 tablets.
12 tablets of what?
Well, check with the College of Pontiffs.
Wait a minute. Whoa, back up. Back up. You got to run me over a few times. Pretend you're driving a car. You're driving a spaceship, and you got to back up over me a few times. You got to go, Corbin, you're an idiot.
We'll just put you in Carthage. Go to Carthage. You'll get it.
Carthage. Okay. Guess where I live? Little Carthay. Little Carthage.
Yep.
So am I supposed to say shalom to you?
You may. Or just go and lay down in Pergamon and call it a day.
What does shalom mean to you?
Shlong is a great big penis.
Well, I understand that. I had a most unfortunate accident. Now, check this out. I was jogging the other day, and I was trying to increase my ego, and I tied a concrete block to my penis, right? So the thing broke in half.
Wait. The penis or the block?
The concrete block was to stretch it out, and I ran into a subway because it burst in half, and I'm holding one part of it, and I got the other part, and I said, look, I need some ice and some napkins real quick. And I called one of my friends, and I said, honey, can you sew real quick? So basically I took one of their sandwich irons, and I melted it, and now it's in horrible shape. I mean, but nonetheless. let's get back to the realism. What do you make of James Risen? Is he a target? What does Obama use now, 13 times? Bobby, help me out. What's it called? It's only been used 3 times before. Edward Snowden, all the above, Bradley Manning.
Patriots Bill? The Patriots Bill?
Yes, this law from World War I.
Letting someone out.
The Espionage Act. There we go.
What's your question?
James Risen has been suing Barack Obama for his whole term in office. He has yet to go Edward Snowden or who's the guy with WikiLeaks? Julian Assange. Anyway, Obama has pretty much come out of the box, and this is the direction we're going in. Now, I told you, they put, basically, it would be, it's a V-chip behind Obama's ears. His ears are so big, so it was so cool to hide them behind there. I saw the implant. Basically, it makes the president highly suggestible. Like, you can say a word, and it will. It's like the Manchurian candidate.
Yeah, what's your question?
My question to you, Bob.
The answer
is you're yelling in my ear. You are hurting my ear. What is the blowback between JW and ION? How do you guys co...
There's no difference. There's no difference.
A talid dynasty.
Talid. A new word there.
That means overwhelmingly powerful or overwhelmingly flexible, elastic?
Look it up. A-T-T-A-L-I-D.
That's work. I'm a lazy motherfucker.
Then lay stupid and you won't notice.
Anybody else got a question for ION?
In chapter 23, you say to know more about the angel diagram. It's like a personal process. And I want to know how we're going to do that.
You engage it. It's like the opening of the lotus flower, the keys. The keys and the airs.
You mean to say it? To
speak.
To speak all the airs.
Dive in, Bob. You can fix that.
No, I have nothing to say about that. I was just wondering, would you answer questions on the diagram, or is it still kept to be a private interaction with ION?
Nope, you can't do it that way.
Okay. So the speak the airs, Carolyn, what do you say about that? Pass it on to Carolyn.
Roxanne, you said it's an individual process, and how are we to do it? So that's what he's saying. It's an individual process. So I think Ion's saying just engage it the way you...
Imagine.
I mean, I know when you get the audio of the angel speak, and Ion's spoken it sometimes, and we've heard it, and it sounds like a whole bunch of consonant syllables, and I'm not going to master them. So when I sing to the angels or talk to them, I just sort of say a bunch of nonsense words, and then I yell at them to do what I want them to do.
So you intro with the marshmallow talk.
Yeah, I soften them up.
With the marshmallow babble.
Yeah.
And then you say something clear in English.
Yeah.
And you don't say, have it done. You say, do it, or do you say, it is done, or I want?
It's more like I want.
Now, you're not supposed to say the word want, though.
Well, when you're directing it to the angels, Ion, is that appropriate when you're directing it to the angels to just really direct them?
You're okay. Let's go ahead again.
Are there different ways of approaching the angels?
Yes.
So one way, can that be nonsense syllables that you make up yourself?
No, they're not nonsense.
Okay.
To us.
So, to us. You're acting like you're an angel now?
No. That's irrelevant,
no.
Carol. Did you get that? So when you mumble the marshmallow sounds...
It's not good enough.
No, that's good enough, because the angels interpreted what you mean, or even though you don't know what you meant, you're just trying to be non-semantic, it's good enough.
Is that right, Ion?
Of course.
Of course.
Bob said it, that it is. So then, Ion, after you do the marshmallow talk, it sounds to me like you have marshmallows, you then declare in English what you want? Is that helpful, or does that cancel the marshmallow talk?
Well, the only thing you want is the things you don't have. So if you have them, then you don't want them.
So you don't say the word want. You declare your order. So you can order the angels in English after the marshmallow mumbling.
Have you ever been to a drive-thru window?
Once. A friend of mine was getting a burger. I didn't get a burger, but they did.
What happens is you go through and you ask them for something, but you tell them what you want.
So you use that as a model.
Hmm.
What did he say? You ask them for something, but tell them what you want. Is that what he...
Yeah.
So you ask a question.
Place your order.
You just place your order.
Okay, so you would go... I request. What verb?
No,
I request.
Just give me this.
You don't even say that. You just say one burger with French fries. Right, Ian? You just say the noun is enough, right?
Can I have a 2 all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions?
Ian sounds like he's in a burger joint right now ordering.
Did he say, can I have? What is the first syllable Ian just said?
I thought he said, can I have? Look, let's get organized.
Can I get a 2 all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun?
That sounds like pleading, Ian. Can I get? But that's acceptable? You're saying that's okay?
You're basically making a declaration and statement of what you desire.
Knowing that you're going to get it because you're in a hamburger joint and they have plenty.
We finally know how to talk and address angels. It finally got clarified.
Go to a fast food restaurant.
No, no. You say, can I have a condom?
Okay. So let's go back to the consonant syllables.
Finally, we can get back to the Byzantine Empire. Great.
Yeah. So those words that are just a bunch of consonants, is that a helpful or necessary way to speak to angels?
It can be. You can develop it.
But if you can just say, can I have this or that, it does not seem like there's much point in...
They're not listening to that.
They're not listening to what?
You're not at the drive-through window unless you have... mastered Bob's marshmallow-in conversation.
So you have to start with the marshmallow talk.
That's how you get to decide if it's a burger joint or a seafood joint. See, we see food differently.
You see food differently. Okay. So food is like energy.
That's what you use it as.
So... back to Roxana's question, does that shed any light on the possible answer, Roxana?
Yes, lately I feel like babbling a lot.
Is there any reason? Yeah, that's the babble. That's the
marshmallow. No, she asked, is there any reason why she feels like babbling a lot, Ion?
It's natural. It's becoming. It's developing.
A little footnote. I noticed in the chat... Fluffy says the Attalid dynasty was a Hellenistic dynasty that ruled the city of Pergamon. So that's why Ion was saying Attalid to you, Roxy, because you made a video on Pergamon.
Wasn't it to Corbin?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it was to
Corbin. He explained the relationship between Ion and JW with this word.
Attalid. Right, the Attalid dynasty.
Don't forget Sargon the Great.
Who? Sargon?
Yeah.
Sargon the Great?
Yeah, I just read him.
Yeah.
He's in Innes' book. Yeah, he was good.
Bob has got this chicken thoroughly stuck. We can't get past it.
I put the book away.
Put the chicken away, too.
I want to know what you mentioned, the Byzantine Empire.
The Syro-Phoenician alphabet. It gives a new writing system. It goes all the way through Babylon.
Syro. And that's C-I-R-O or S-Y-R-O? How do you spell Syro? S-Y?
T-S-Y.
Did you say T, Ian?
Do.
S-Y-R-O, Phoenician. Okay, noted.
There were showing lately some Tibetan monks that are in like a state of meditation. And some people say they're still alive. And there is a sculpture in Amsterdam in which they made an X-ray, and there is one of those inside. Where are they? Are they somewhere else? They just left the physical body. Are they really still alive?
They are.
Can they return to their physical, or?
They do.
So are they ascended, Ian?
Not yet.
They're trying too hard.
Let's see, how does it go? I'm starting with the man in the mirror.
They want to know, why would they engage that condition? Are they living in other worlds?
Split between the two.
They're kind of like Brian.
They're kind of like Peter.
Peter, the founder of the church?
Hell no, Walter Bishop's son.
Oh, yes. Hell no, I should have known, sorry. Sorry.
Founder of the fucking church, Lord Southern Cat. He couldn't even get crucified right side up. Yeah, that's our boy. Yeah, we're going to put that one as the poster child. He could probably run your business, Bob. It'd be great. You should get Peter to take over. It'd be great.
Was Peter crucified upside down?
St. Peter, yes. He couldn't
get
it right.
He was.
Get it right. Oh, my God. Poor Peter.
So he ended up with what was left.
That was what was left. Mm. Very good questions, Roxy. Let's see who else wants to ask something.
Ion, I want to know if Saint Germain has the ability to transfer a person's being or mind from one chemical body to another chemical body.
They have that power, but they don't do it.
In the Saint Germain series, they also talk about saving bodies in crystal coffins. I would just wanted to know a reason why they would actually do that.
Ezekiel and the Crystal Liquors. Yeah, we've already covered that. It's pretty passe.
Ian, the group that celebrates Saint Germain, are they getting anywhere with their worship of Saint Germain?
No, silly Bob.
Sorry.
Ion, is it possible to triangulate dimensions?
Sure, we do it all the time.
Many moons ago, I decided to be in a car wreck, and I wanted to know the reason for that.
Nothing better to do.
It's boring in Ohio. Nothing much happening in Ohio.
No, that's for sure. That's for sure. Ion, does non-physical have a problem with me entering into the silver market?
Better ask Jamie Dimon. He isn't anymore.
At one time, you said there was an issue with me interacting in the Forex and investment markets, and you said not to worry about it. So I thought I would get clarification again.
Yeah, it's so tricky and so stumbly and so messed up. You'll die a Pergamus-filled death.
Pergamus-filled.
In that market. Mm-hmm. Hey, Bob, what about John Mann, Alpha Beta? How our alphabet shaped the Western world?
He's quoting one of the books in his backlog. Good book, Ian. Excellent book. Trouble is, it's a book. The problem is just the book.
I was going to say, the problem with the one who wrote the reading may not wrote the reading right.
That's right.
Ion, I wanted to know why my drinking glass in my sink exploded whenever I gently tossed a small knife into it. Kind of blew up.
Hey, Ion, can you tell me why my car blew up when I threw a lit match in the gas tank?
It wasn't that bad, though. I was very close.
Can you tell me what happened when I tried to put the fire out with jet fuel? Let me know how that went out for you. Yeah.
Well, you think the glass would just kind of crack, maybe chip a little, but this thing exploded. It was quite the anomaly.
Bang, bang. Yep, it blew that. Your environment is changing. Everything is more radical to you, isn't it?
Definitely.
And that's why I like crystal chandeliers, real nice chandeliers. You can watch them and they'll start breathing. They'll start moving. Like you say, oh, something's moving it. Well, no, they'll move on their own, just picking up vibrations because we've increased the cloud so much that all those shards, like remember when this grand, the aria singer and the high soprano in triple C just blares it out, I mean, in the highest C, and all of a sudden the stained glass windows shatter and the glass, it can't hold that vibration. Those bonds, ionic bonds, won't hold in a covalent world. Well, that's what's going to start happening as you start changing the environment in which things are shaped.
Useful answer there.
We're sorry. We didn't mean it to be functional.
Oh, it was just it's quite the anomaly. It was pretty neat, actually.
What do you know, Kevin? Stop believing your eyes.
Oh, I heard it too, Bob.
Believe, Bob. Do not believe your lying eyes.
Yeah, believe me. Believe me.
So I finished the Lost series. Was there a big lesson that I was supposed to take from that?
Kevin, you've watched the whole Lost. Didn't you think it was interesting that the water, the golden pool, doesn't that remind you of Axiom water here on Maui? Think of that. The whole thing was the golden pool, right?
It was.
Yeah, that's about us. You know, Lost was made before we tapped into Ion, but Ion was around, and J.W. knew J.J. Abrams, so it was interesting. But there's a lot about Iondom and Maui in that series, so that's what you were supposed to notice. It's sort of presenting what happened before we showed up. Dan Friend shows us when we show up in Maui in 2008. See, the two shows go together.
Don't forget Claire Littleton, Bob.
Anybody who's an expert on Lost, look up Claire Littleton. Is it ever mentioned in the websites on Lost, the fan things? This is a key name that Ion's always talked about in Lost, but I never found it. But I didn't look that deeply, but I couldn't find it on the surface.
Now, wasn't that the blonde girl that was pregnant?
Yes.
Oh, is that right? Is that her name?
Yeah, that was the character's name. She had the baby on the island. She kind of disappeared there at the end and came back crazy.
That's interesting. The Littleton I'm thinking of were the family that came over on the boat. They had something to do with the boat, you know, in the 19th century. That's what I was thinking of. So Claire maybe have come from them. Well, we have food for thought, further research. So she gets the baby. She produces Ion and goes nuts. That's Carolyn. No, it's me. I did it.
Yeah, so you say.
So I say.
And Jack Shepherd.
Yes, the doctor.
I'm the doctor.
You're Jack. I'm Claire.
No, you're Hugo Hurley.
No, the two of us together make up a Hugo.
Do you know who Hugo Hurley is?
Probably right.
The big guy.
He doesn't fit in the airplane seats. Remember, he's fussing about it.
How do you remember that name, Carol?
I even know who Claire
she
was.
Knows
is he the young guy with the
she
dreads who won the
him.
Lottery?
Yes.
Okay. Hugo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot in there, Kevin, for you.
Oceanic Flight 815.
I really like how they displayed the alternative timelines, how they would jump back, like if they wouldn't have crashed, what may have happened, and how they intertwined those. That was really nice.
Oceanic Flight 815.
815, 8195 is 14. That's the Pacific Ocean. That's where it gets lost if you look at my chart. The Croker Quadrant, Lemuria, Pacific Ocean is 14. 815, 8195 is 14. See the code there, Kevin?
What does Kevin's name add up to?
Nothing. Kevin's a non-entity. He's just an idiot from Ohio for fun who gets in a car accident. He's like that old comedian, Jackie somebody. For excitement, he'd get out on the deck of a submarine or he'd go to a bus station to pretend he was leaving. Remember that Jackie somebody?
It was Foster Brooks.
No, it wasn't. It was Jackie. I know who he was, but I don't know his last name. So, Kevin, some people say that the meaning of loss is that everybody dies. Did you think they died when they went into the light?
No.
Well, isn't that ridiculous interpretation?
Yeah, I mean, after watching it and then always keeping in mind there is no death, it just seemed like they just transitioned into another dimension where they kind of transcended the island.
No, it was about us, Iondom happening. They went into Iondom. They went into the changed world that's here now.
The no-time world.
Yeah.
The be anywhere, anytime world.
Well, the any, even way beyond that, into Axion and Coldplay and everything that we're inaugurating. As Ion says, they do not stay in the human dimension. They left the human physical body world to a better, more physical physicalness.
I guess some people would call that like an etheric kind of dream world.
No, it has to stay physical, but it's a new kind of physical based on not what you see.
Well, yeah, they were interpreting it through the spirituality aspect. Think of Interstellar. They were saved by a fifth dimensional...
planting back. The
season 5,
back.
Season 5, episode 12, Dead is Dead, that one.
Of Lost?
Ooh.
Dead is Dead. Then Locke and Sun travel to the temple so that Ben can be judged by the monster.
You better know it.
Well, I don't remember that.
So they kind of go underground. That's whenever the smoke comes out to the guy. What is that, Ben?
When they pull the cork.
Well, that's down in the pool. That's not the temple.
Yeah, that's the very end.
They're connected.
Are they?
You know, the mother who brought over the twins or something, was that a Littleton from the 19th century? Remember the woman who guarded the pool? Was that a Littleton Ion?
Yes.
So the smoke monster comes out to judge Ben, and then the smoke turns into his dead daughter, or the daughter he let get shot.
As in happily ever after.
You notice the word Littleton, that's like little man.
Like simpleton.
But then it's ton on the end, which is very heavy.
Well, I'm not sure how it's spelled, but maybe.
Can energy
It's got to do with loss, fucking loss. Stick with the topic.
It's similar.
Pickles, is that you? Pickles, is that you?
So, Ion, you said when they pulled the cork, that's when the smoke monster came out. Like, I know that there was, I'm trying to remember the bottle of wine or something that they had.
Who's speaking?
Wendy.
This is Wendy?
Like yeah.
Yeah, which Wendy's? Which Wendy?
These days, I don't
There's
know.
There's about 8 of them already. Well, welcome to our world.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like Wendy. Definitely different Wendy.
I know. And I don't even believe it some days because I don't even remember.
Enough about you, Wendy.
Here.
Well, you just marble by now. Get back to your question.
Related? Is it related? Because I'm trying to remember. There was a bottle of wine or something that they had that they were drinking, as well as, like, I know when they're going in the temple.
Kevin, you just saw it. Does that mean anything, Kevin?
Yeah, there was a bottle of wine that the protector of the island, Jacob, always had, and he would give it to his evil brother as a joke, kind of, to taunt him in one scene. And there's a really big duality between the light and dark and the good and bad of the brothers. That was really interesting there at the end.
Yeah, but you can't tell which one's good or which one's bad.
Exactly.
We put the do in duality.
And the successor had to drink from that too, didn't they, Kevin?
It was mostly like a cup ceremony, like the guardian had to give a drink to the new guardian.
Yeah.
Like a chalice kind of ceremony.
That's from the Feast of Cups.
And the Feast of Cups is related to like, I'm just thinking of cups in the tarot cards. That's the only cup thing I know. Is there another one you're referring to, Ion?
Yeah, look it up.
Is that the four cups of wine of Passover?
Yum, very good.
Hey, Kevin, that ship that comes to the island in the 19th century, that's about the time of the telegraph. That's the beginning of the emptying of the guff.
Oh, really? Whenever that slave ship kind of flew onto the island?
1850s, 60s, 70s, that's when the telegraph was an environment. That's when the guff started to empty, when electricity was externalized.
So it was a break, as that ship wrecked onto the island and broke the statue down, the alligator statue. Was that a symbolization of the electronic environment taking over the world?
Yeah, the Pillar of Rai.
Is that who that god was?
Yeah, and wouldn't that god be the concreteness of the veil represented by an image of man stuck in the third dimension? That would be the hypnotism for many cultures, not just the Ark. Wouldn't that be the symbolism of that thing that starts to break up when the ship shows up? And then you have subsequent generations trying to crack the mystery of the guff emptying.
Mediacology.
Yes, they're all mediacologists. No way to attack non-physical.
Ion, what was the name of that god, the alligator statue? What was that?
Pickles, is that you?
It was Pickles.
Carolyn is Pickles. That's you, Carolyn. You're
yes,
Pickles.
I know.
Well, answer him so he can move on. Help him move on.
The alligator statue, what would that be?
Is that the big statue? He's calling it the alligator statue?
Oh, I don't know what it's called. It just has an alligator head or a crocodile head.
It's a great image. Very good image. It's like the slab in 2001, A Space Odyssey. It's a rai. It's a concretion, a veil that numbs everybody's cultural phobia, ecologically speaking.
What was funny in Interstellar is the slab was turned into the robot, and the slab had legs.
Yeah.
That was a bizarre image, a slab robot.
Ion, I feel that we have this sense of being able to know huge blocks of information at once instead of somebody having to tell us through language a whole story about an event. Is that going to come to us more easily with the living water?
Well, it already does that way. You're finding it. It really doesn't have anything to do with living water. It's just you finding your biases.
Okay, thinking that we need language, that we need more details when we already know. Is that
well, it's like making up time so you can get rid of it.
Ion, did the little man create technologies to cover up missing old abilities, like watching television would be like remote viewing and talking on the phone would be like telepathy?
Event horizon.
So is that a culmination of all technology?
Not necessarily.
Some people are tapping into these batteries that are like natural, like the human photosynthesis and all this energy. How would you call the energy, the natural energy that runs our systems eternally? Is that electronization of slack?
No, that is an apparent horizon.
So apparent horizons are found around black holes.
Do, and so are most of your topics of conversation.
Are they deadly rabbit holes, Ion?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. They always land somewhere. They're like Delta. They get you there, but where?
But what is the energy that runs our systems?
There is no energy that runs systems.
So what keeps all these things going on?
You.
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 You. So there is actually no need of energy? Is that what you're saying?
Just like there's no need of a firewall paradox.
Yeah, Roxy, that was a topic on the November 30th or 23rd, 2011 cash flow. Go back and listen to it. Third hour, I revealed that energy was a useless concept to understand one's being.
Bob, if you run out of McLuhan, does that mean you've run out of us too?
No. It means you show up. We ran out of McLuhan, and then that brings you forward. The final extinction of non-physical.
How can we become tired? How can we stay charged?
We don't.
You said we, Roxy, that's non-physical, so you have to say, how come I become tired?
How come I become tired?
Because you just separate, you segue it. You segue it into making things busy. You make things that you do really easy, you make them hard. You do all this stuff, and you make all these things work out, and you have to do these things. And these things have to be done, and this has to get organized. And then we got to eat, and then we got to do this, and we got to do that. Blah, 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 blah. Next thing you know, you're spinning to the point you're like, Jesus, God, just let me die quickly before I don't do the rest of these things that I've decided that I must do. And when you get that far done, then you go into them, go to Luckenbach, Texas with Waylon, Willie, and the boys, and then call it a day.
Hi, it's Susan. What interested me, I was listening to the tape of last week, and Ion seemed to say that since Jamie Dimon and his crew had been thwarted in their manipulation of silver, that silver was going to really go up. So then why would we say to Kevin not to acquire silver?
Because like gold, silver hasn't gone up since Jesus. Money gets more or less expensive.
The asset, if one is holding it, it's a real thing, which is never going to be worthless. It will be worth something if I wanted to, or somebody, Kevin, wanted to trade it for cash. So why would we not want to hold on to something that has a worth?
If you already have it, we would say hold it. If you are going to procure it, Chase Manhattan Bank is famous for manipulating its prices. They're out. So nothing is going to manipulate it anymore.
So then if one holds it until such time as it begins to find a different way of being put into the marketplace, for
unless Bob takes an exchange for RNA drops, then it won't have much value. But it's nice. You can make flooring out of it. It's great.
Wow, silver flooring. Okay, and it does have a medicinal, apparently, an antibiotic kind of flavor.
Well, we say colloidally, but Dr. Dean will chap your ass if you dip too far into that.
I just use my silverware instead,
There you go. It's much better. It's much better. Grand Baroque is the best, or Francis the First. But, see, we're in the days of everything from Wallace is wonderful, because the old and the new is kind of all the same. But now Continental, from the Continental side, the extra large super serving pieces, Wallace Grand Baroque is the bomb. You must find out about it. It is it.
I've got some.
And that Tea Rose. Yeah, Tea Rose is good, and Buttercup, the old Buttercup, George the First, but now they don't make that anymore. It's a retired pattern. And Kirkstife does some pretty great things, too. But some of the old Franciscan, Francis the First, some of those yummy patterns are delicious, and they'll be good for you. You should own much of them.
Will silver be used to make a lot of things electronically? Has that got a value to somebody?
No. Silverware, that's the answer. And eperns. Silverware and eperns.
I'm not sure what that means.
You don't know what an epern is? It's a centerpiece.
that you put flower buds in to make a wonderful return.
Oh, I use that. Yeah, okay.
Well, of course.
I had another issue that I was really interested in bringing up. A few years ago, in the middle of the night, I was seemingly, you know, for whatever it means, asleep in my bed. And I turned over, and suddenly the person next to me was not my husband, who I thought was there. And I jumped out of the bed screaming. And then suddenly my husband was there holding on to me because I was screaming in the middle of the night. Now, what was that being? Was that being another person? Was it something from a dream? Is there such a thing as a dream? Is it another dimension, another world? What was that?
Don and you just having a little strange. That's what that was about.
A little strange?
You were having an affair.
No.
Strange.
No.
Heavens, it's a sin away. No? You deny it?
The kindles. Well, okay, well, then you almost did.
From another world?
Makes no never mind, darling. Makes no never mind.
It was a frightening thing. I mean, I didn't know this place, person, whatever. It was just...
Well, don't get so uptight about it. You should have went with it. It would have been all right. You might have enjoyed it.
It was the most horrible-looking human being.
Well, honey, you don't sleep with their face.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't trying to sleep, but anyway, I thought I was asleep.
Well, Peter beat her.
Peter beat her, couldn't keep her.
Right. So sometimes if you do sleep with their face, it may be good.
Okay.
Tequila makes their clothes fall off. Either way, it's okay.
Sarah, why'd you mention Peter Beater?
Because Ion's always saying Peter Beater would have eat her or should have eat her. What is this Harmony House fine china I have here with the silver on it?
Was it Harmony House?
That's what I want to know. On the bottom of my china, it has a little door and it says Harmony House fine china. But it's got silver around the edging of it. I was curious about its pattern. I would like to know what Harmony House is.
What it is. It's Sears.
Okay.
Sears
Roebuck?
Yep.
Okay.
And yours is Silver Sonata is your pattern.
Oh, thank you.
So, Ion, just a few minutes ago, you were mentioning it's all about the silverware, and you mentioned the flower buds, and I have, and you probably know, I don't know if that's why you mentioned it, I've just laid my dining room table with good silver and beautiful rose flower buds and everything because I'm preparing for a tea tomorrow, and you know all about cooking, so I made for the first time tonight a whole bunch of homemade potato pancakes. And they're all fried up and in the fridge.
Black keys.
Tomorrow,
Okay, you got to have sour cream and black caviar, a medium good roe. You serve that on the pancakes.
And black caviar. I bet the grocery store won't have that, or will they? They might. If I want it, they'll have it.
Yeah, as long as it's not a Darwin Marvin's or something.
And how should I reheat them? Should I refry them or just put them in the oven? I've already fried them crisp, and they're in the fridge.
Just put them in a 200-degree oven about 20 minutes before you're going to serve them. On a rack, on a rack, on a rack, on a rack, on a rack.
On a rack.
And we wish you had we wish you used the convection oven.
Yeah, I don't have one.
We know, but just 200 degrees and on a rack and 20 minutes. Don't get them too much more. You'll make them greasy.
Okay, thank you.
If you double fried them, would that need to be done right away?
No, you just flash fry them when you're ready to cook. They need to be cold, flash fry them, and then eat them. If you don't use sour cream, which is preferable, you can use creme fraiche. And do not use a silver spoon on the caviar. You have to use mother of pearl. Not eat silver on the caviar. You'll break them.
How about the toast points? You're going to make them en croûte?
No, I made them to go with, I'm making quiche and ham and a little salad and kind of tea biscuits and fresh strawberries and fresh homemade whipped cream. Just a mishmash of stuff. I invited all the ladies in the family over.
Okay, Sarah, ask about Noah. What's Noah's future? In the next month, what is Noah need to do to prepare for the stresses and strains that's coming to him?
I think he started doing that. Ion, how can I better help Noah in what he needs to be doing right now?
You got to do it a different way.
My course of action and what I'm doing right now, I would like reassurance that it is the correct course of action. Can I get that reassurance?
Well, as it was in the days of Noah.
Okay. With the court stuff going on, with legal documents, I don't know how to phrase things. I personally
You're okay. Just be soft and ask a specific question regarding your documents. I got you.
Is there a way to use the documents I have to get everything kind of thrown out?
Maybe. What you need to do is you need to do a habeas.
Okay, could you spell that, please?
Habeas?
H-A-B-E-A-S.
A-B-B-A-S.
E-A-S. Habeas. It might be
E-A-S.
One.
Can you explain what that is?
A habeas corpus. You want to view the body.
Oh, yes, I do. Okay. With that, will I be able to
yes.
procure the body? Thank you.
Speaking, you want this in the record. It's going to be in the archives for eternity. So please be as discreet as you can stand it.
Is there a reason
No.
that is... Okay. Oh. If I got a DNA test, what would be the greatest surprise to me? Is my DNA a factor in this case?
Maybe.
Okay. That's my easy way of saying, am I being... personally pinholed here because of who I am, and does that affect Noah?
The Earl of Shaftesbury.
What factors am I not allowing myself to highlight here? Is Noah going to be physically safe?
Yes.
Are there greater things that I should worry about other than his physical safety? I mean, am I preoccupied with that?
Yeah, you are, because you couldn't save him if he was in peril.
That's what I'm...
Just back the fuck up. We got this.
Thank you. Okay. Now, when you said to be easy and reminded me this is, you know, on the record for eternity... and I want to view the full body. Is that because there will be pieces that will need to be accounted for?
Yes.
And with this process, I want to trust that this is a place I can come for help, meaning this environment here. And I do trust that. And last week specifically, I struggled with even making sounds with my mouth. Am I being superstitious about words, or am I correct to be very careful about how I phrase things concerning this?
You should be, because of what happened to King Charles II.
Yeah, it probably involves the Earl of Shaftesbury. He was the prominent politician in the cabal, then dominating the policies of King Charles II. So he was involved. You can look up Shaftesbury, Shaftesbury.
Referenced by John Locke.
John Locke's in
The Walkabout, right? That guy?
No, he's in Lost.
Yeah, is that the guy that takes the walkabout?
Yeah, the walkabout, right. You got a question, Love Job?
Oh, Lord, the fraternal freighter.
98.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
The ceiling.
Oh, hey, how it hanging?
A little to the left.
Pretty good, Ion. How are you hanging?
Good. You nutting anything nice lately?
No. Ion.
Damn it, man.
Exactly, Ion. That's what I'm saying. Can you give me some words of wisdom that will help me figure out a way to sell my scripts?
If you can't get it up, then you can't get it out.
So I got to get it up first.
Do. Sometimes you need a help from your friends.
Who are the friends?
They're local.
To seek out people to help me?
Yes.
So that was really good, Ion. That was very helpful. Can you give me a few other tidbits that will help me figure out how to sell these scripts?
Make them not available and everybody will want them.
Do you see in the future that my scripts will be sold?
When I was 1 in 20, I heard a wise man say, give crowns and pounds and guineas, but not your heart away. When I was 1 in 20, I heard him say again, the heart out of the bosom is never given in vain. It's paid with sighs of plenty and sold for endless rue. Now I am 2 in 20, and oh, 'tis true.
I might take that as a yes, for sure. I have another question, Ion. How can I help my wife complete her dissertation?
It's true.
Did you hear that, Ion?
If you get it up, you should be able to get it out.
That's the same for her dissertation?
Dude.
He just told her that she has to get it up before she gets it out.
Got to get it up to get it out.
Yes, all right. He said to you.
And always remember that if at first you don't succeed, keep on sucking until you do succeed.
I was reading in some New Age journal recently, and they were talking about how at the end of March begins the new 26,000-year cycle. Is this true, and how?
Yeah, it's a period. It's a period. They have a month every month.
It's like a period?
No, it is a period. It's not like a period.
So what is the significance of it, the period?
It's a new cycle.
How can we interact with this new energy of the new cycle in a way that helps us?
John Locke.
The writings of John Locke will help?
No, the character in Lost.
No. The 1666 one.
The writer, okay.
I've never seen Lost, Bob, so I'm kind of lost.
John Locke is a famous justification for capitalist property. He wrote the major philosophy in the 1600s. American Constitution was built on Lockean philosophy.
Very interesting.
Can you make it more interesting? Why don't you pursue it?
Did you just want me to go for it, Bob?
Bend over and take it like a man.
I'll try to relax. You try to be gentle.
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
May they rest in peace till Bob gets there.
So the question was how to handle the new energy. You said John Locke.
You said you would relax. That's how you take the energy.
And you said John Locke. which the Constitution was built upon?
We didn't say that. That was Bob's. That's Bob's doppelganger, and he was waiting for the nickel hennies to come eat the Maccabees.
Just now or a couple of years ago?
Dude.
Yep. Same thing.
Does this have to get at some sort of new economic system is going to emerge during this beginning of this new cycle?
We'd say you don't need a new one. You don't have one now. Why in the world would you want a new one when the one you got now isn't real? So you're going to take something that isn't working, a fiat currency that's not even backed by debt, that debt can't even be sold to debt anymore, that you can't even use debt to pay debt, to buy debt, to be debt, that the system has failed three times, it's fallen three times, and that's why they have to have the Federal Reserve. That's why the IMF has to keep chunking it off, and you can't get any of this thing to work. So now you're saying a new financial system from this new cycle, the bleeding, let the bleeding, the bloody flux carry on, the bloody flux flow through all the mankind's payroll, savings, deductions. Then what happens is you come to a place where you find that this fiat world in a bloody flux does not apply. It doesn't apply. Endometriosis, the rotting from the inside out, it's being absorbed. Can't absorb it anymore. Can't absorb it anymore. Must be shifted. The shifting must take over a new platitude. But then you have to ask Bob.
I have to ask. Oh, man.
Or not. Well, it's okay with us. I know.
You really
know. Here you go. They know. It knows. They know. Anthony Ashley Cooper. Try that one.
That's the Earl Shasper topic a few minutes ago.
Oh. I have a question about the resurrection of the dead and the logistics of the resurrection of the dead. That's something I'm interested in. When is the resurrection of the dead?
The Lazarus. It already had.
Oh, yeah, the Lazarus effect.
The Lazarus Project.
What happened?
He died. It's
a new movie.
Brought him back to life. No, no. We're not talking about that. We're talking about our project.
Hey, Ion, I have been involved in working with the energy of the Ma'ion that is related to the Ion of Mat, but specifically the Ma'ion, and I started a working cell with a group of people, and we've done some rituals with this energy, and both of the people I do the rituals with are fans of your work, and we have been wondering what you would say about our work in this regard.
Exeter College, Oxford.
It's probably Crowley or John Dee stuff. The Ashmolean Museum.
So what you think about it is in this museum?
Fundamental Constitutions of Carolina.
That's the secret deal in Virginia, Commonwealth of Virginia. It says the Exeter College is one of the constituent colleges of the University of Oxford, fourth oldest college of the university, founded in 1314 to educate clergymen, has many distinguished personages, including the writer J.R.R. Tolkien. Great, came out of there, or taught there. So he's talking history here for you. Love, job.
I asked about what you think of our work, and you brought up J.R.R. Tolkien. Does this have to do with...
No, it didn't.
Bob read it out of the Wikipedia.
I brought that up. Love, job.
Well, yeah, Bob is, like, helping, though.
Well, not okay. Always.
Yum. Boy, that'll end in tears.
Yes, I generally don't help people, love, job, in the long run.
You've helped me, Bob.
Yes. And where are you today? Nowhere. You're faggy asking questions. Doing Crowley-eyed rituals.
Bob will give you strict interpretation of the penal laws.
Eliza just had her coffee. She was craving iced coffee, so she just made it into just that. It was yummy. She posted that.
It was yum. Ion's word. It was yum.
Wendy says, hey, everybody, just looking at that chat now. Wow, it's still on. Sarah, you are cool. You are cool, too, Sarah. Back to you, Love Job.
Some of my most favorite words, Bob, back to me. Ion is hard to work with. Bob, how am I supposed to best do this with Ion?
Go, I want to know why I'm doing the rituals. You know, something like that. Go, I want to know before the
Earl of Bridgewater.
I want to know what Exeter, Oxford has to do with my Ion.
The Earl of Bridgewater. We already answered it.
The Earl of Bridgewater.
Does the Earl of Bridgewater, that part of the tradition that Aleister Crowley drew on?
No.
He's known as the Canal Duke for his creation of a series of canals in northwest England.
So,
his wife was Elizabeth Cavendish.
What about Elizabeth Cavendish?
First Duke of Newcastle.
This brings us
up to King James II. This is how it all starts stirring up.
He's talking about the battle between the Stuarts and the Tudors.
And the Tudors, and it takes care of his little bullshit seances that he's having in our stead.
Yes. You used to be paying more attention to Ion than trying to do a Matt Ion crap.
Right.
It's so funny.
Right. You got that?
By proxy as well. And then
listen to the Revelation series. Listen to the Revelation series with your buddies. What?
So, with the My Ion cell I'm working with, we should just listen to Ion stuff. That's the best way to go about it.
Yeah.
John Egerton.
Oh, yeah, Ryerson University. Now, Eric from Ohio says, hello, everyone. Interesting hearing another Thelemite on the show, or Telemite.
With John Egerton. He created Earl of Bridgewater. Is that a Shamu effect? Is the Earl of Bridgewater a Shamu?
How do you spell Egerton?
E-G-E-R-T-O-N.
Ion. How is the word ion in the Ma-Ion concept related to the appearance of Ion in 2008?
It's not.
No connection.
So there's no connection between Ma-Ion and you as Ion.
Correct.
Edgerton, I looked it up, E-G-E-R-T-O-N, John Edgerton, was it? Nothing comes up, so maybe I got the name wrong.
Yes, the third Earl of Bridgewater.
So it's just a coincidence that it's my Ion.
There were no coincidences.
Is it more gluttonous?
I also looked up Lady Elizabeth Cavendish. Could you mention her Ion? I can tell you what it says about her. It says she was a friend. Okay. It says she was a childhood friend of Queen Elizabeth II and a lady in waiting to Princess Margaret from the late 40s till the latter's death in 2002. Lady Elizabeth was the daughter of Edward Cavendish, Marquis of Hartington, and later 10th Duke of Devonshire, and his wife. She was born 3 days after the Princess of York was born in 1926. It is believed she introduced Princess Margaret to Anthony Armstrong Jones in 1951. And although she herself never married, Elizabeth Cavendish did form a close relationship with the writer and future poet Laureate, I hope I say his name right, John Betjeman that same year and was called by Betjeman's daughter, Candida, her father's beloved other wife.
Oh, no. Dr. Dean doesn't like Candida. And you missed it by 1,600 years, honey.
No, wrong lady. Cavendish?
Yeah, Elizabeth Cavendish was the wife of John Edgerton. This is the battle over the Protestants, the Tudors, the Stuarts, the Catholics, dwelling on that era.
So is it Ma-Aron, Ra-Ra-Ara, Ra-Na-Ara.
Yeah, Matt, You're causing a battle with Ion.
Can listening to the Ion Rogue recordings help with this kind of stuff?
No.
Couldn't.
Let maybe. Ion answer.
I am Ion sometimes.
It couldn't hurt. Well, I just asked because I just listened to those yesterday, and it's almost confusing me because of the triangulation.
Wonderful. Then it's good.
Sarah.
You're right. No, I feel good about it. I feel good about it. I'm seeing a pattern here that may help me.
That's better than being deluded.
Somebody keeps making noises. OJ could be Love Job.
Not me.
Could be William the Third.
Is he listening?
Ion, a while back I asked you what was the secret to be good at comedy, and you said to separate the distance between you and you, and that has been very helpful ever since. Do you have another little tidbit of wisdom that is equally as helpful that I can take with me in this next stage of my comedy career?
We got this. Try at all costs to be funny.
Oh, that's pretty good. Try
is it ha-ha funny? Or
be funny. Should I start now, Aya? Trying at all costs?
But that never really works, does it, Ion?
Unless it's the sling blade.
No, we didn't say clever. That's too clever by half. We didn't say clever. We said try to be funny at all costs.
All right, that's pretty good. Pretty funny.
Even funny if it weren't so bad, wouldn't it?
In a private reading, I had asked you about this a while back on 5body.com, I asked the question to Glow, the psychic, when she was communicating with McLuhan and Zappa and Joyce, and asked the question, and she answered it in the form of a image. And the image is really interesting. It had to do with my, quote, mission. It seemed to answer the question quite nicely. Do you have any thoughts on this image that those three have given me and what it means for my life? Is this something important that I should study more, or is it just a interesting tidbit?
No, don't know.
I want you to tell me the significance of it.
The dagger speech from Macbeth.
Not familiar with that one.
Well, we're so glad. You need to get a psychic to show you how to work the Googler.
That's the most famous scene in Shakespeare, Love Job. You don't get much knowledge over there in Carl Rogers land, do you?
No, not about Shakespeare.
It's a nice guy, son, we're sure.
So he said, forget the image. Glow doesn't know.
Yeah, but it wasn't by Glow. It was by those ghosts.
Yeah, but Glow selected it.
Is that you, Pickle?